Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 17th day of April. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's take a look at this marketplace and begin with this question. Kurt Kimmel, as you think about the bean market and how it has rallied and the reasons behind it, are there good fundamental reasons to be at the price ratio it is with corn at this point?
Well, the best observation I can come up with is the American farmer producers sold out of beans virtually, so whenever they transfer ownership to strong hands such as commercial, there's usually some dynamite that takes place. But the beans have been the darling of the commodity funds and investors, for say. They've been long beans, short corn, long beans, short wheat. But fundamentally, demand still relatively strong, and we've just not seen those huge cancellations yet that the market's talked about since February there.
And just as a reminder, May corn settled at 494 and three quarters on Thursday afternoon, and that was the settlement for the week. And the May soybeans at $15.14, so they're nearly three times the price, Wayne Nelson, of corn.
Yes, they are, Todd. And I think, Kurt hit it pretty much on the head. Basically, we're basically out of beans, or we'll be out of beans if we ship everything we've got on the books, or even not everything we've got on the books, and keep crushing at the level we had. The NOPA crush this week was a lot higher, 6 million bushels higher. I think it's about a 7-year high for a monthly crush. And when we're looking at all that stuff, that's sort of unrealistic, because supposedly we don't have beans for farmers to be selling them. Where are all those coming from? And yet we hear the notion that they've got beans bought through May. But after that time period, I think it's going to be awfully hard to find beans to be hauled in or bought out of the country.
The ratio, though, for new crop corn to soybeans is different than it is for old crop. Bill Mayer.
Yes, and I think that, all of the activity really in the bean market this week was in the old crop, and I think the old crop beans are, if we want to look at it in its most simplistic terms, I think that we have to get prices of the old crop beans to a point where the trade feels comfortable that the price is high enough that we've stopped the usage, basically, or at least slowed the usage, and there have been a couple of times we thought that, but what a lot of the bullish traders do, I think, are to buy the spread, like buy the bull spread, buy the nearby, sell the deferred, rather than taking the risk of just buying the straight futures on the nearby. And that's why we see the new crop move along with the old crop, but not to the same extent.
Wayne, when you think about the fundamental process here, is it that the old crop soybeans have rallied enough, or trying to rally enough, to bring enough imports in to settle out the ending stocks number where USDA has it at the moment? And what I'm suggesting is that when you look forward without the imports, we don't have the ending stocks figure.
We need the imports, Todd, and that's great. I mean, we talked about this before, and we've always said, hey, we're like a grocery store. You can sell out as long as you can restock, and there's still stock to be put in that comes from South America. And we do need to get it out to the point where they can it pays for the importing costs, the freight differential and bringing it here. But I see no problem in wanting to do this. And look, the way we were able to sell it at very good basis levels, move on out, and we're buying this back at cheaper basis levels, the commercials are going to win. They're going to handle twice as many bushels.
Well, they're going to win. They're going to handle twice as many bushels. But we do have to look in other parts of the world. For instance, the Chinese, who have been large importers for a very long time of U.S. soybeans, are now at a point where some are saying They've already canceled, and we think they're going to cancel a whole bunch more. What do you think?
Well, if they bought them lower, they'll make some money on them because the market's a lot higher. It seems to pencil out to ship their purchases from the Southern Hemisphere up to the U.S., of course. That's happening. But the thing we got to continue to look at is they need beans. They'll continue to need beans. They're buying new crop, our new crop beans right now, starting to book those. They've got to buy so many. But if you see a $2 rally in the bean market, you're not going to say, I'm going to buy more. I'm going to buy more. You're going to put those rumors out there. I'm going to cancel so the market goes down so they can buy them cheaper. So they could cancel some, but I don't think it's going to be as much as what the market's been hoping for since February.
Well, let's talk about new crop November beans, because most producers will not have very many beans left to sell, if any at all, from the last crop year. November settled at $12.39 and a quarter for the week. That seems to be, in the long scheme of things, a pretty good price for soybeans.
Yes, it is, Todd. I think that a lot of the technical traders have been looking for the chance to get to that 1250 mark, 1254, somewhere in that area. We got to 1244 on Thursday there. That's awfully darn close to within a dime of a shot like that. And that's also putting you basically at $12 cash beans back to the farmer. Looking at input costs and everything going along that way, and especially, let's remember, we were looking at the very volatile situation in Ukraine. They're not bean producers. So, I mean, the beans aren't going to pick up a bunch because of if they do have civil war or anything like that happen. So I think that we're getting up close to the goal point there. We can go a little higher. Full crop beans continue to go, but I'd sure have my selling shoes on between that 1240 to 1250.
Bill Mayer, there is money to protect between where we are now and the crop insurance price.
Oh, yeah, I think that I would agree totally with what Wayne just said, that area as far as hitting some more sales there. If I put the, acreage in there, even that the USDA came out with on their March report, and put some average or trend-type yields, I mean, it's very hard for me to come up with, getting any kind of carryout less than 200 million bushel for next year. So I think these are good price levels, not that the old crop bean situation can't continue to pull it up, though.
There's a 200 million bushel carryout. I've seen, Kurt, as high as 300 million.
Yeah, it's expectations, but if you go back to the Willard Sparks days, he put some projections out, 450, 500 million bushel carryout, 20, 30 years ago, and we never even got close to that. So it's a projection. We're going to have to see how many acres we get in. We have to see how much weather comes in. I think it's going to be fairly large, just the fact that we're going to have the extra acres. But we'll see how we go through the growing season. And if we do have a decent crop, it's going to put pressure on November beans. And it's why some analysts look for some downside risk to that 11 to, or down to $10 this fall.
But you don't sound convinced of that to me.
Well, it's not over till it's over, and right now the trend's higher. As a trader, you remain long until the fundamentals change in through here. What we're seeing is guys trying to put in shorter season, try to get the beans in early to take advantage of the difference between old crop and new crop, because there's going to be some tendency to buy some of that new crop to fill old crop demand there at the end.
The trend, as Paul Cooley used to say, is your friend.
The trend is your friend, Todd.
Absolutely. Okay. So turn your attention to the corn. May corn at 494 and three quarters on its settlement for the week, and the December at 496 and three quarters. They were right on top of each other, Bill Mayer. So what do you think about that marketplace? We're touching that $5 level all over the place, and I don't know. It seems to want to stay pretty strong.
Yeah, it seems to me like the corn market is just trying to find its way here and wait to see how the planting season goes here. That's one aspect of it that I guess I'm a little bit confused on myself, is the lack of carry in the market. Like you said, basically you have a flat market from May through December, no carry at all. If we really have $1.3 billion carry out, I would think there'd be some carry in the market to encourage people to hold corn into the end of the year. But I think that's telling us that the new crop corn may be a little bit tighter than we think, and there's still some potential weather concerns in the new crop.
Hey, Bill, I don't recall, maybe one of the three of you do. What's our monthly usage at this point? Are we
we're like a billion 250 or something like that.
Yeah, so if we have a billion three, so that's kind of, I guess that's midpoint 460, according to the University of Illinois, midpoint for cash price. And those are both numbers that are they're there for, you see in the last WASDE figures. I guess that makes some sense to me, but there ought to be carry out, and it's just not there, right? So that there is something amiss still in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that earlier, one of the other commodity weeks, I believe that I was on, one of your guests was talking about how with the, you know, the ethanol usage, where there's so much used every month, that it does tend to pull some of the bases, you know, keep it a little bit stronger all year, and I think it also affects the spreads.
Now, speaking of ethanol, have we solved any of the problem in the Northwest and crude oil, rail, and not being able to move ethanol yet, Kurt?
I don't believe so. There is talk of a free rail car running around, and everybody was chasing it, trying to get to their location to haul some out. But that's been the big issue, and it's kind of a bad deal because there's been producers and elevators wanting to move stuff. You just can't get hold of it.
And that has created a serious problem in terms of basis in that part of the world.
Yeah, Todd, the basis is, you know, between 70 and 90 cents in some of the areas of North Dakota. One of my customers also advises some customers in the Minnesota Dakotas area, and they've told him they can't sell cash until their elevator gets some rail cars. They won't even give them a cash bid because they said, it might be $1.20 by the time we can get a car or pay the extra for the freight. So that's one of the things that's really bad out there. Another thing we got to look at with these rail cars is we're here, they're not getting fertilizer, and that's the reason we're seeing two reasons. Number one, beans will be less bushels to try to handle and get shipped out. And number two, they're not getting the fertilizer shipped up to that area to want to grow corn in the Dakotas. And three, the temperatures up there are such that they're not going to be really fast planting corn, so they probably want to do beans anyhow.
So there's one thing. They may want to do beans anyway, so they can't get hold of fertilizer. We're going to be late, and it appears we'll be pretty late unless we get a lot of heat with them, because they still have a little bit of snow and some frost in the ground and all kinds of things there. I know it's early. I know it's very early, but it's kind of telling yet.
Well, if you look at the acreage report, that was planned out this winter, an extra 1.3 or 6 million acres in North Dakota, more bean acres in South Dakota. So that's penciled in. Now, whether it's more than that, well, like you say, we'll have to see how this weather unfolds and transportation, of course.
Bill, what do you think of the corn market at this point?
Well, I think we're going into a very critical week, and when I look at the chart, we're just right down against the 30-day moving average on nearby corn, and I think we've got a real critical week here as far as what the weather forecast looks like next week. Easter a lot of times is just a kind of a turning point, you know, from the standpoint of getting out in the fields and that. So a lot's going to be depending on what forecasts look like as we come in there Sunday night and start trading again on which way that corn market goes, I think.
More often than not, Bill, I've heard people mention wheat as a potential leader in the marketplace to the upside. What do you think of that possibility?
I think that we saw some of that this week, and there definitely was some real concern when you looked at some of the temperatures all the way down into Texas, down in the southwestern part of the country. We definitely had to have some damage on wheat. Now, I know wheat has nine lives, is the old saying, but it has kind of been a leader if you look at, you know, compare the charts. But I've always been of the feeling that, you know, each commodity stands on its own when the fundamentals tell the market to have the different commodities stand on their own. So I think if we get into a situation where the corn looks like we're going to get it in the ground, we're going to start seeing people go, I think the wheat may separate from the corn a little bit.
So what is the biggest fear at this point for you in the marketplace? We're not quite into the beginning of the growing season, Kurt, because weather has not allowed us to be there yet. And we're at that preface. We're right at that point where we're looking forward, but can't quite see what's at the end of this marketplace yet.
Well, my biggest fear is margin call, I guess.
That's your biggest daily fear.
I believe it's the funds doing a 180. You know, last winter we had the commodity funds out of the marketplace, somewhat short. Now they've come back in and they've wanted ownership of grains. So commodity funds and fundamental demand has driven this market higher. And as a producer, my fear is that, okay, we go ahead and start seeing favorable weather. The seasonal tendency is to correct as we go through the growing season. And if the producer gets busy farming here and doesn't pay attention and the weather starts to correct and funds start to liquidate and we start going down, traditionally it's a hard down and you don't get that rally to sell, that rebound to sell. So that's my probably worst fear as a risk manager. So one has to take advantage of the up move here or else use a price floor to sort of scale up getting some hedges on.
That's not to say you're convinced that the hard down's out there somewhere yet.
Anything can happen. At this point, we'll have to wait and see what happens. You know, as we move down the road, I mean, news changes in a heartbeat. Everybody's got an iPhone and everybody trades on their phone. So things can change in an instant here. It's just like the Beanie Baby market, man. It's hot and now it's not.
Yeah, there are a lot of expensive Beanie Babies sitting on some shelves out there, I suppose, aren't there?
I think Kurt hit the nail on the head there on the fund position. If we see fundamentals that take us down and test some of the support here and we can't hold that support, I think that would tend to tell the funds to start liquidating, and that I think is where the concern would be to the downside.
You know, everything that's said there I agree wholeheartedly with, but I also want to throw in Ukraine. That is a powder keg that we don't know whether it's going to be, the bomb is going to be disarmed or whether it's going to explode, and whether it's going to explode in four or five different places. And how are the funds going to react to it if it does explode? Those are all the things that I'm not sure of that keeps me scared of being an aggressive marketer on either side of this thing. So that's the one thing that's a big, big if out there.
That is a big if, and I don't know that we can, well, we certainly we cannot answer that question, and you have to manage that risk as well, I suppose.
You're going to have to go in, and like you say, along the way, I think John Bondert said it probably as good as anybody. He said, well, I'm okay hedging and staying hedged because I've got irrigation, and I'm not scared about the weather if it doesn't rain a lot. We're going to have to, and he said, I would use a lot more puts if I was in your area. I'm afraid we're going to have to use more puts and calls this year than what we would like to use rather than use the straight marketing.
So it will be a costly event then.
It's going to cost the farmers a little more to put the bottom in the things this year without sticking their neck out too far. You know, it's like the turtle. You can't stick your neck out too far, somebody will cut it off.
Well, they're right now looking forward at a price that doesn't afford them to risk a whole lot because they're break even. They're going to make some money, probably, but by comparison, the last two or three years, they should be way scaled back on their income.
That's why I kind of like, Todd, the idea of maybe coming in and making the sales and then protecting it with some call options, because I do think that if, and Wayne brings up a good point, if we have a situation, either Ukraine or maybe the weather later in the summer or something, that runs the market up, I think that it's going to run it a ways, because we are not, you know, surplus burdensome stocks like we thought we were going to be at this point. So you put in a little bit better floor that way and still protect yourself to the upside.
And of course, you're listening to Commodity Week here on Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And Bill Mara is with us, too. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished in Chicago, and we'll try to give you the trade and how they finished up for the week. The nearby May corn for this week on the weekly trade went to a high of $5.07. It's low at $4.93. The settlement price was down 3¾ from the previous week at $4.94¾. December corn futures and finished their week at $4.96¾, 2½ cents lower than the previous week. In the soy complex, near my May beans for the week, had a trading range in the high at $15.31¾, low at $14.61¼, with a settlement price up 51 cents from the previous week at $15.14. And November beans finished the week like this. The nearby contract, or rather that contract, settled at $12.39¼, 24¾ higher. The trading range for the November at $12.44½ to $12.11¼. The hard red winter wheat finished the July contract at $7.65. Its trade was 39 cents higher from the previous Friday, and the July futures in the soft red from the CME group in Chicago finished up at $6.99. That was up 30¾ for the week. The high was $7.18¼, and the low at $6.72¼. From the live cattle, the nearby April contract, $144.20 was the final price on the week. And the trade from Friday to Friday was down 65 cents. June futures, which garnered most of the trade for the week, traded on a high price at $136.10 and a low at $134.10 for the spread on the week. It was down $1.40 at $134.37½. The May feeder cattle finished up like this. The contract was lower for the week, down $2.25 at $178.05. And the June lean hogs, the most traded contract for the week, their spread was from $125.45 on the high for the week, the low at $120.40, finished $3.60 higher at $124.82½. Hey, have you visited our website recently? I hope so. But if not, please do visit WILLAG.org at willag.org. You'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. It's posted there each and every business day of the year. And then, of course, Commodity Week comes up on Friday afternoon. That airs live at 2:36 up on the website at willack.org by about 4 o'clock each and every Friday. By the way, if I haven't said it recently, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Dave Dickey and I really do appreciate it. Also, be safe during this planting season. Farming is a difficult and dangerous occupation, and you should be wary. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at agrigold.com.